بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وحكمة وعملا متقبلا اللهم اجعلنا مما يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسن أما بعد All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the Universe and may peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad and his family and companions May Allah grant us much beneficial knowledge and give us goodness from this gathering. My beloved brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is our fourth class already in the fiqh of tahara, the fiqh of purification, and we're reading from the valuable and noble book, Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam, that was compiled by Shaykh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. May Allah have mercy on him. And we're reading from the chapter on water, and this brings us to hadith number 8. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طهور إناء أحدكم إذا ولغ فيه الكلب أن يغسله 7 مرات أولهن بالتراب أخرجه مسلم Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that the Prophet ﷺ stated that the cleansing of the utensil or container belonging to one of you after it has been licked by a dog is to wash it 7 times using soil for cleaning it the first time. And in another narration, and he should spill out its contents. He should spill out what was in the container. This hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim. This hadith is one of the most foundational and important hadith. And in fact, it's a hadith that is excellent for a student of knowledge to learn how scholars differ over a same hadith, over the same text, how they use other evidence to interpret a hadith, to come to conclusions, and to draw rulings from a hadith. Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, he has a makhtut, a manuscript called Al-Imam. He wrote 15 pages of rulings based on this one hadith, this one sentence, 15 pages of many, many rulings that are derived from it. And this is one of the beneficial things that you're doing, I congratulate you, about learning the fiqh of the religion. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, he said in Bukhari, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ If Allah loves good for some people, or for a person, He gives them the fiqh. He gives them the understanding, the knowledge of the religion. So this is a sign of Allah's love that He brought you to attend these classes, inshaAllah. And also, one of the important things that we learn before we get into the hadith itself is that the scholars mentioned that when we learn the ahkam, the rulings, we remove our nafs. Because our nafs, we have our own ideas about things. For example, this hadith about the licking of a dog from a container. The person might think, why do we have to wash it 7 times? 1 time with dirt, and they have an antipathy towards this kind of idea. But by learning the fiqh, we remove our nafs and we give precedence to the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah, he says, as was narrated by Abu Huraira, "Tuhuru ina'i ahadikum." The tuhur, or the purification of a container. Now the word tuhur in Arabic, it can have 2 meanings. The word tuhur, it can mean to remove a person from a state of ritual impurity into the state of purity. Tahara, like making wudu. A person, if he used the bathroom, or he passed some wind or something like that, then he performs wudu, and this is called tahara. It removes him from this ritual state of impurity. And also the word tuhur in Arabic, it can mean to remove najasa or impurity from a thing. So the scholars, when they looked at this hadith, they said that the container of water, it's not like a person. It doesn't become in a state of impurity. So that meaning, the meaning of removing from a ritual state of impurity to a state of purity cannot apply. But it must mean to remove the najasa. It must mean to remove an impurity that has gotten into the container. This is why the Prophet said, طُهُورُ إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ So here, this is how the scholars, they analyze meanings of words. They take the word and they look at its various meanings, and look at the context and see which of these words can apply. And through this act of deduction, they came to the conclusion that the dog's saliva is najis. It's an impurity, and this is the opinion of the majority of ulama. This is what Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, and Imam Ahmad, they all agree that the saliva of a dog is najis. It's an impurity. If it's on a person's clothes, his prayer is invalid. If it gets on himself, or if it gets in a container, he has to wash it and remove it. And we'll talk about in detail how that impurity is removed. However, Imam Malik, he said that this impurity, the word tuhur, it doesn't only apply to najasa. Because Allah says, for example, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ, when He was commanding the Prophet ﷺ to clean his thobe, and of course the Prophet ﷺ, he did not have najasa on his thobe. So, and also, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَسْسِوَاكُ مُطَهِّرُ لِلْفَمْ. The toothstick is something that purifies the mouth. But there's nothing impure in the mouth, but it's just a type of cleansing. It just means, generally speaking, to cleanse something. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a type of najasa. So for this reason, Imam Malik, he said that what is meant by the Prophet ﷺ here is that to clean a container. And this is not because it's a najasa, but because of other reasons, and for health reasons, and for hygienic reasons, and we'll talk about that also later. However, the majority of the ulama, all of the ulama agree that it should be cleansed, or it should be washed 7 times, 1 time with dirt. Some of the ulama, like the Hanafi school, they said it didn't have to be 7 times, it could be less, but we'll mention that also in a minute. So Imam Malik, he said, what is mentioned by this, by tuhuru ina'i ahadikum, what is meant is removing the uncleanliness of the container and not the tahara, not the najasa. And to summarize this, the majority of scholars, they say if a dog licks a container, that container is najis, and we cannot use it. It has to be washed 7 times, once with dirt. And this also applies to the clothing. If the clothing was licked by a dog, the majority of ulama, not Malik, but the other ulama, the majority of the ulama, has to be washed and cleansed once with dirt. But Imam Malik, he said that this is not a command to remove impurity, but it's a matter of worship, a way of that the Prophet ﷺ, he gave us ways to be hygienic. Like he prescribed cleaning the mouth with a siwak. Also, likewise, he's prescribing something that will benefit us. And the reason for that is for health reasons. Okay, so now the question is, if the dog, it licks a container that has water in it, all of that water becomes najis, according to the majority of ulama, because the saliva on his tongue, it goes into the water, and it pollutes all of the water. But what about if he eats from some dry food, or he touches something dry? For example, there's a lot of food or some that was outside, and the dog, he bit part of it. Does all of that become najis? The scholars, they say, no, it doesn't all become najis. And the reason we have a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ was asked about a mouse that fell into some ghee, some fat, some shortening, and it was solid ghee, it was firm. So the Prophet said, remove the mouse and what is around it, and the rest is pure and you can eat it. So by using qiyas, the scholars also apply this to the licking of a dog. If he licks part of the food that, or part of something that's solid, not liquid, then you can remove the part that the dog bit from, and the rest remains pure. However, if it's water, if it's a fluid, then all of it becomes najis. All of that fluid, if it was a pot or a bucket of water or milk or anything like that, all of it becomes najis, just as if a dead mouse had fallen into a container of oil, then the scholars say all of the oil becomes najis. So when it comes to something dry, then in this case, the najasa does not spread to all of it. It only goes to the part that was wet or that was fluid. Now, what about if a dog places his foot in a container of water? Does the water become najis? Some of the scholars, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad, they said that the only thing that is najis of the dog is his saliva. and not his body itself, not the body of the dog, but just the saliva that the dog emits. And it doesn't, therefore, if it, the dog puts his foot in the water, it doesn't affect the impurity. The Prophet ﷺ, he spoke specifically about dog licking in the container. However, Imam Shafi'i, he broadened the concept of the najasa of the dog. And he said, every part of the dog is najas. Even the hair on the dog is najas. And he said, this is because the mouth is generally the cleanest part of an animal, or cleanest part of a person, or some, it's not, the rest of the body is much more dirty. Generally speaking, the mouth is the honorable part. So he said, this is less honorable, the foot and the other things where he walks on. So if the mouth is najis, then the other things must be najis. So he said that the hair of the dog, every part of it is najis. If he steps in the water, then the water becomes najis. But what about if, and also Imam Shafi, he made another form of qiyas. He said that the tongue, it produces saliva. And likewise, the dog's body, it emits sweat. And he said they both come from the same source, which is the blood and the inside of the body. So Imam Shafi was making a type of qiyas, where he said that the sweat of the dog is like the saliva, so it should also be najis. However, the scholars, they replied to this, and they said that zoologists, they state that the dog doesn't sweat. That dogs, they don't have sweat. They use their tongue to cool off, or they'll jump in water to cool off. But they don't have sweat. So this part of what Imam Shafi said might be responded by the majority of ulama. Also, now if the dog is najas, if we say the dog hair is najas, if you touch the dog, does the najasa get transferred to your hand? Or if the dog brushes you on your clothes, does your clothes become najas? If we go with the opinion that the whole dog is najas, the scholars, they say that impurity is only transferred if it's wet. If one of the two things touching are wet. If either the hand is wet and it touches the impurity, or the impurity is wet and the hand touches it. So if the dog was wet, if it had water on it, or the hand was wet and the person touched the dog, then the hand becomes najas. But the ulama, they say if both sides are dry, the hand is dry and the hair is dry, then no impurity transfers, that the hand does not become najis. But if it did lick the clothes, or if the dog was wet and it touched the clothes, going by the Shafi opinion, then it has to be washed 7 times, 1 time with dirt. So this is some of the important things to speak about regarding the licking in the animal, the licking in the container of the dog. Now, does this ruling about the najasa of the saliva in the body apply to other animals? Again, Imam Shafi, he said that it applies also to the pig. Because he said that the pig, if the dog is najas, the dog's saliva, the pig must be najas. It's much, much worse. So Imam Shafi, he said that also the pig, the same rulings apply to the pig, that all of it is najas, including its saliva, and it should also be washed in this way. Now, some of the Malikiyya, when we talk about the Maliki school, they say that if a dog is a trained dog, some of the Malikiyya, not all of them, they say that if the dog has been trained, like a hunting dog, and it licks you or it licks the clothes, then it does not have to be washed. And they say because this dog has lived amongst humans, and that its saliva is not najas in the same way as wild dogs. But the majority of the Malikiyya, they say that it must be washed in this way 7 times, 1 time with dirt, not because it's najas, but because it's a command of the Prophet to clean. Now, what if the dog licks a large body of water, like a swimming pool? The dog jumped in the swimming pool or licked the water. Does all of the water in the swimming pool become najas? There's actually a hadith that will clarify the ruling for us, that it doesn't become najas. And this hadith was narrated that the Prophet ﷺ was traveling from Mecca to Medina. And they came across a pool of water. And the Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was with the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, "Oh companion of this pool, oh owner of this pool of water, do carnivorous animals or do dogs drink from this pool of water?" He wanted to know if any dogs had drank from that water, so that he could avoid using it if that had happened. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "O owner of this pool, do not inform us. This man, referring to Umar, he said he's overzealous. He's very, very zealous. He said, carnivorous animals have a right to drink from the water, and it is, the rut is remaining is permissible for us, and pure and drinkable. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that Umar was being overzealous, and that the water would remain pure if the dogs had drank from it. In some narrations, it specifically mentions that dogs and carnivorous animals would drink from that pool of water. So you see that the Prophet ﷺ, he did not give the same ruling for that large amount of water than he did for the small container. And this goes back to what we had talked about before, that the scholars, when there's a large amount of water, they say that nothing makes it impure. All of the scholars agree on this. If you have a large body of water, whatever you put in it, it stays pure as long as its three qualities remain the same. If those impurities do not change any of the three qualities of the water. However, do you remember when we were talking about the small quantity of water? What if one drop of impurity goes into it? Does it become najas? There's a difference of opinion, but the majority, they say it does. And they use this hadith as one of the proofs of that. And Imam Malik, he said that it doesn't become najas. So that large pool of water, if the dog jumps in it, or puts his foot in it, or he licks from it, then it does not harm, it does not cause the water to all become impure. And however, if the quality is changed by the dog jumping in it, then it does become impure. Imam Malik, he has a number of proofs for saying that the saliva of a dog is not najis. And one of those proofs, and it's a very interesting proof, is the verse in Surah Ma'idah. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ الطَّيِّبَاتُ وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلَّبِينَ. They ask you, what is pure for them? What is allowed for them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, tell them what is allowed for them are the pure things, and that which the trained animals bring from you, they bring for you, referring to the dogs. And then Allah says, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا أَمْسَكْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ. So eat from that which they bring back for you. So in the Quran it mentions that you can use a dog to go and hunt for you. So Imam Malik, he said, what could be clearer than this? The dog, he's putting the whole bird in his mouth. He's not just licking a little bit of the bird, the whole entire bird is in his mouth. So he said, this, and then you can eat it, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, he did not command washing it 7 times, once with dirt. So he said, if it was really najis, then that bird would have to, it would have been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does the Jumhur respond, the response to this? They say that when you catch a bird, if you're hunting and you get a bird, you remove the feathers and you remove the skin of the bird. So whatever the dog had licked, it gets thrown away. And say that it had touched the inside of the meat, the bird is also cooked in the fire. And we know that fire purifies. One of the means of purifying is through fire. So the Jumhur, they say, even if the dog's mouth was najis, the bird would have become purified through heating it and cooking it, and also removing the skin. So this is not the reason. Imam Malik, he says that the reason why we have to wash it is that it has to be cleansed. And he uses another proof to support his argument that the dog is not najis, and he supports it, or actually Imam Bukhari, he supports Imam Malik's opinion. If you look in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari, Imam Bukhari, he was a faqih as well as a muhaddith. And where is Imam Bukhari's book of fiqh? Does anybody know? In the Sahih al-Bukhari itself. He writes his headings. Sometimes he'll say chapter, and he'll give a ruling, and then there'll be no hadith in the chapter. And that's his fiqh, that's his ruling on that issue. And for example, sometimes he says, is Salat al-Duha from the Sunnah? And he puts a question mark to show that there's a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Or he'll say, prove that, etc. So Imam Bukhari, he gives his rulings in the headings, in the titles of the chapters. So he gave there's a chapter on purification, on tahara, and in that chapter, he brought the hadith that during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, dogs would pass through the masjid and come and go through the masjid. So somebody might think, what is this have to do with purification, that the dogs would come and go and pass through the masjid? In fact, if we look and we study deeply, we see that, as Imam Suyuti he mentions, that Imam Bukhari was trying to prove that the saliva of a dog is tahir. But how does that prove that the saliva of the dog is tahir? Just by the dogs walking through the masjid. Here you have to go and search and look into the seerah, and we find that this was a specific incident that was being referred to. It took place in the 9th year of Hijra, when some people of the tribe of Banu Thaqib came to consult with the Prophet ﷺ about accepting Islam, and they stayed in the masjid, they stayed in a tent in the masjid, and the Prophet ﷺ himself would make sure that they were taken care of and to give them drink and food. And because of this hosting in the masjid, there was some food and some scraps, and the dogs would come into the masjid looking for those scraps. And they would smell the ground, and of course, whenever they smell and they find something, they'll lick it up from the ground. However, the Prophet ﷺ, he did not command that those places be washed. And he didn't command that the earth be removed from the masjid. So this is what Imam Bukhari wants us to realize, that if these dogs were coming in the masjid, and the masjid is a place of tahara, and we cannot pray if there's impurity on the ground, the Prophet ﷺ would have definitely commanded the Sahaba to wash that place or to remove the dirt. So Imam Bukhari's opinion in this is that it seems that it was not just the saliva of the dog is not najis. Now the scholars, they say that Imam Malik says that the saliva of the dog is pure, and the rest of the ulama, they say that it is najis. And why does, now let us ask Imam Malik, alright, so you say saliva of the dog is tahir, why do we have to wash it 7 times once with dirt? What is the reason for this? And Imam Malik, he gives a very interesting opinion. He says that the dog, it gets affected by rabies, and the rabies of the dog, it is spread through its saliva, and that saliva, when it gets onto a container, it can easily spread to other human beings, and it's very harmful to people. It, as you know, it can kill people, and that bacteria cannot be removed easily just by a quick washing. But if you use dirt has fluorine in it, and they found in research that the properties of dirt, especially fluorine and other things in dirt, it kills the bacteria and rabies. Of course, Imam Malik, he didn't study the concept of fluorine, but he said that the reason why we have to wash it so thoroughly is because it will kill the bacteria that is spread by the rabies of a dog. But what is the Jamhur response to this? They have a response, of course. They always have a response to each other. So the Jamhur, they said, wait a minute, a dog that has rabies, it doesn't drink. A dog, when he's affected by rabies, he's crazy, and he doesn't usually drink water. He acts in a crazy manner, and he doesn't drink from a container. So that was their response, but Imam Malik had a response to that. He said, well, the dog, when it becomes affected by the rabies, maybe it doesn't eat and drink, but when there's a state of incubation, when the dog has rabies, but it hasn't reached the point where it's affecting it, where it becomes in the rabid state, but there's a state before that, and he said it's about 15 days, where the dog, it has the rabies, the bacteria, but it's not affected by the rabies. So subhanAllah, you see how much detail they went into to try to understand what the reason was for this prohibition. So Imam Malik, he said, the reason why the Sharia commanded washing all containers that a dog lived from is that we don't know which dog has rabies and which one doesn't. So to close the door, and to, for reasons of hygiene and health and medical benefit, the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to wash all containers, in order to prevent any harm from coming to the believer. Now the question is, the washing of the dirt, why is it mentioned one time with dirt? As I already mentioned, the research has shown that dirt, it has an ability to kill that bacteria, the bacteria of a dog. It has fluorine in it that has a very strong effect on cleansing the bacteria of the dog. So this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, one time with dirt. And of course the Prophet ﷺ, everything he spoke was from wahi, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ. Why the number 7? Why 7 times?
We see that many things in, when it comes to medicine, the Prophet ﷺ, he said to eat an odd number of dates, a large number of dates, to take it more than once is usually the common in, when it comes to matters of purification. To repeat it, it will bring more purity. However, the Hanafi school, they say that seven times is not necessary. It was something recommended by the Prophet ﷺ. But Abu Huraira, the narrator of this hadith, he was asked, how many times do we have to wash from the dog? And he said, three times. So Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, the narrator himself is giving the fatwa that it's three times. So how can we say that it has to be seven times? Again, the Jumhur, they respond, they say, which is stronger, the narration of a sahabi or his fatwa? Which one do they say? They say his narration is stronger. Right? Because the narration, the authority goes back to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, sahabi, that's his own ijtihad. Maybe he had some reason for that. Maybe there's a special case for that reason he gave a special fatwa. Or maybe we don't know if the narration is as authentic as the words of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the majority of ulama, they say that we do not, we go by the original text, which is seven times, that it should be washed seven times. And is using dirt obligatory, or can you use soap instead of the dirt? Can you use, what is it, Dytol or those other things, right? Imam Ahmad, he allowed it. He said that you can use soap in place of the dirt, because he said the goal is the same, which is to remove that which is impure, or to remove what is dirty. And so the dirt, its goal is to remove something impure, and so Dytol or anything else will also remove something that's impure. However, the other ulama, they responded back and they said, we cannot make ijtihad when we have a clear text. La ijtihad fi mawrid an-nass. There is no ijtihad when you have a text. You cannot come up with a secondary ruling when you have a clear command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that you cannot derive, qiyas is like a secondary source, whereas the hadith and the Quran are the primary sources. So you don't go to a secondary source when you have the primary source. And he gave some examples. He said, like, in the story of Khidr and Musa, when Khidr, he killed the child to save the life of the parents, because the child, he was going to grow up and be rebellious against his parents. So Khidr was commanded to kill the child to save the life, to save the well-being of the parents. And also he said, another example the scholars gave is like the fruit. Sometimes there's a lot of rain, and on the trees, I've seen this sometimes, that fruit, it grows so heavy that it actually breaks the branches from the, and it ruins the tree. So the farmer will remove the fruit even if it's not ripe, in order to save the life of the tree. So likewise, the Quran and the Sunnah, they're the essence. They are the foundation. And the qiyas and the ijtihad come secondary. And so we don't rely on secondary sources when we have the primary source. We try to preserve the, as much as we can, the primary sources. So these are some of the reasons, some of the statements. One last important thing, or interesting thing, and again, these are some of the amazing things that the scholars, they derive from this. You see how much effort. There's several narrations. One narration says, wash it seven times, the first time with dirt. Another narration says, wash it seven times, the last time with dirt. And a third narration says, wash it seven times, and then the eighth time with dirt. So we have different narrations. And Abu Hanifa, when he looked at this, these differing narrations, he said, you don't need to use dirt at all. Because all these hadith are contradicting each other. He said, how can you have one that's at the first, and the seventh, and the eighth? He said, they all contradict each other. You don't have to use dirt, just wash it with water. But the Jumhur, did they accept that argument? They said, Abu Hanifa, if you have all these hadith, one says the first, the other says the seventh, the other says the eighth, that only emphasizes that you do have to use dirt. When you use it is what they differed about, but they all say using dirt. So they say you cannot use that to say that you don't need to use dirt at all, but you can say that there's a difference about the order, about when to use the dirt. So you see that this hadith, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, is a goldmine of knowledge that many of the scholars, they start out with when they're students talking about this hadith to show how the ulama, they derive the same hadith, the same text. It gives rise to many different opinions amongst the ulama. To summarize, the jumhur of the scholars, they say the dog's saliva is najis and has to be washed 7 times, 1 time of dirt. Imam Malik says its saliva is not najis, but it should be washed in the same way for health reasons, because it could contain the rabies, it could contain something harmful, and for this reason the scholars forbade it. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وجزاكم الله خيرا والله أعلم.